verse number 16 and on down of Matthew chapter 28. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're going to go back to the Scriptures and we're going to look at some things. And Lord, may we understand the words of Christ. Lord, here he is about to ascend. Here he is about to turn responsibilities for the evangelism of the world to the local New Testament church, to a handful of Christians. And Lord, I would pray, dear God, that we would understand the seriousness of it, the responsibility of it, and that you would help us here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Lord, to be a church that is pleasing to our Savior in this matter of obeying his last and great commission. And so we ask that you speak to our hearts, not just tonight, Lord, but I would pray that throughout the month this would just build. And I believe we got off to a great start. Thank you for Brother Hamlin and his faithfulness through these many years, Lord. Over 32 years he's shown up at Blessed Hope Baptist Church from time to time and helped us and preached to us. Bless him and his wife. Watch over them as they travel home tonight. And Lord, please, we pray that you would use, dear God, the messages this morning in conjunction with tonight's message to begin a process in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Every year I think, well, maybe we won't do a missions emphasis month. Maybe we'll do a missions conference. I like missions conferences. I've been to some tremendous missions conferences through the years. I think there's something wonderful about taking maybe an entire week or maybe a Sunday through Wednesday and have a concentrated time of preaching. And it seems like every time I pray to do that or think about doing that, the Lord just kind of directs me to take an entire month. I don't think one's right and the other's wrong. I just think that it's kind of nice to be able to just allow the Lord over several weeks to deal with our hearts in this matter of missions. And so I want to talk to you about the missions mandate, and I want to share with you a little bit of the biblical philosophy upon which we build our missions program and answer some basic questions tonight. Now, even though I said that this is in some ways a primer, in some ways it'll be it may be basic material, I think it's amazing how much we've gotten away from the basic plan. I want you to pay attention to the basic plan. I want you to think through the elements. One of the dangers of turning to a familiar portion of Scripture and reading it is that those of us that have been saved a long time, me guilty of this sometimes too, think, oh, I've heard about 100 sermons out of this. I pretty much know where this is going to go. But sometimes knowing it isn't doing it. Hearing it is not doing it. And sometimes we have in front of us a simplistic genius. And by the way, God's plan to reach the world is genius in its simplicity. And yet, it's almost like it's so wonderful and so simple, and yet it seems like the church has just failed through the centuries in fulfilling it for the most part. We certainly haven't come close, I don't think, in accomplishing what Jesus asked us to accomplish. Let me ask you a question. You think about this. Would Christ have asked us to do something that was impossible to do? So if he was saying go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, then that means that it must be possible to be able to do that. We're going to answer some basic questions and look at some things. Also, I'm going to take the content of tonight's message, and as far as I know, unless the Lord's going to change my mind, and I'm going to preach. I'm going to give you the basic philosophy, biblical philosophy of missions. And then next week, I want you to come next Sunday night because I'm going to show you why and how Satan has been so effective in keeping the church from simply fulfilling that plan and that philosophy that the Lord's had for us. And so coming to this with an open heart, let's ask the Lord to do something sweet in our lives. All right, the missions mandate. Preacher, we've got missions emphasis month. We have a little sign that we slide in every once in a while on the marquee that says, Worldwide Missions, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What does that mean? What is missions work or a missions mandate? What is worldwide missions? What exactly is this whole thing about? Well, let me answer that question. Number one, I'm going to answer five questions tonight. What is it? Who is it for? Where are we to go? How are we to do this? When are we to stop? Let's start with question number one. What is it? What is missions preacher. Well, we read out of Matthew 28. I'll read Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Matthew 28:19, we're given also the command to go and preach or teach the gospel. And then this also, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Christ, what is the Great Commission? What is missions? What is worldwide missions? Missions is Christ's command to deliver the gospel to every creature on the earth in every age. Christ's command to deliver the gospel to every creature on the earth in every age. Wait a minute, but it doesn't stop there. Our command goes on to say that we are to baptize those who accept Christ and believe. We are commanded to present the gospel to every creature. Doesn't mean every creature is going to get saved. Doesn't mean every person is going to get saved. Our responsibility is to present the gospel to every creature. And then those that do believe, we are to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then we are to take those new converts and teach those who are baptized to live like Christ so that they can help reach the world for Him. Now, folks, that's it. It's not complicated. It's very basic. It's genius in its simplicity. But here it is. Christ commanded us to deliver the gospel to every creature on the earth in every age. For those who believe, we are to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then we are to take those converts who we baptize and teach them to live like Christ and to teach them to help reach the world for Him. Now, let me just give you a couple of thoughts here. And why hasn't the world been reached? There's too many people. I mean, Christ said every creature. Now, I want to give you a couple of things to think about. If one person could win 1,000 people to Christ every day, now think about that. If one person could, obviously they can't, but if one person could win 1,000 people to Christ every day, how long do you think it would take to evangelize the world? At this time, the population is about 6 billion people. It would take 16,427 years to reach every person if one person were to reach 1,000 people a day. Well, I've never met too many people that's lived 16,427 years. So that's not going to work. Now watch this. If you were to lead only one person each year to Christ, let's start with one Christian. That decided they were going to reach one person for Jesus Christ. And then they would spend that year discipling him and training him how to reach one more. At the end of 1 year, there would be two of you to take the good news to others. If each of you would lead one person to Christ that next year, there would be four of you at the end of the second year to go and tell the good news. If you were to take the four and they were all to reach one more, then how many would there be? And those eight, the next year, would reach how many? And those 16, the next year, would reach how many? Say, preacher, wait a minute, there's 6 billion. Now, let me shock you. At this rate, do the math, it would only take you a little over 32 years to reach the rest of the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. 32 years. Even if the population increased to 8.5 billion in that time span, it would only take an extra year or 33 years to reach everybody for Christ. Now, look up here. Come on, let's look up here. We can have a missions emphasis month, and you know what? Go into March being the same way we came into February. Or we can listen and accept a challenge. I believe in independent fundamental circles. We've been taught the Great Commission, the importance of it. We've been taught the importance of soul winning. Preachers have preached on soul winning until they can't preach anymore. But the honest truth in the average, even what we would call good independent fundamental Baptist church, very few people consistently share the gospel with somebody who's lost. In a year's time. They just don't do it. Well, I'm going to encourage you, let's do it. Let's be the exception to that rule. Let's at Blessed Hope Baptist Church decide we're going to be an exception to that rule. So what is it? It's Christ's command to deliver the gospel to every creature on earth in every age. Then those that receive Christ, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then take those new converts, teach them that are baptized to live like Christ, and then train them to help reach the world for Him. So that's what it is. Number two, who is it for? The command is directed to every individual Christian and every local assembly of believers. To accomplish this, every Christian must get involved. If we're going to have complete gospel saturation, we need every Christian to get involved. Now, notice if you will, In verse number 19, you got your Bible open there, Matthew 28, 19. Let's say the first two words together. Ready? Go ye. Let's try it again. Go ye. Good. Now, the question is, who is ye? Now, I'm going to say a little phrase, three words, and then I want you to repeat it with me. Here it is. Ready? Ye is me. Say it with me. Ready? Ye is me. Ye is me. Ye is... Now, write that over there in the margin of your Bible somewhere. That is the cure. Preacher, if there's one message you wish every Christian in the world would get, it's this one. Three words. Ye is me. Ye is me. And so to accomplish this, oh, this is impossible. Why would in the world would Jesus put that kind of a burden on these 120 disciples? That's 120. That's not starting with one, folks. And the population at that time was a lot less than it is now. 120 Christians could have and should have saturated the entire world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Say, preacher, why didn't they do it? For the same basic reason that we're not doing it. And we'll talk about that next Sunday night. But let's answer these basic questions. Let's settle some things. The message is to every individual Christian, and the message is to every, the command is to, directed to every individual Christian and every local assembly of believers. Now, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, if you will, and turn and look at these verses tonight. 1 Corinthians 15, and I want you to look, if you will, at verse number 34. Yes, the command is directed to every individual Christian, but it's also directed to every church, every local assembly of believers. And I want you to notice what Paul said to this church, this very carnal church in the city of Corinth. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, 34, "Awake to righteousness and sin not." Now notice this, "For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your," what? "To your shame." Now here's a letter written to a local assembly. He is telling that local assembly that there are some people in their Jerusalem, some people in Corinth, that have not the knowledge of God. Didn't say that it hasn't gotten saved. Okay, because remember, folks, our job is to take the gospel. It's their job to decide whether they want to accept it. But he said, it's not a matter of not getting everybody saved. It's a matter of some of them having been told about how to get saved. They don't have the knowledge of God. And he said, "I speak this to your shame." And so what he's saying is this. What the Bible's teaching, the principle we can draw from that is this. Let's bring it right here to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. If there's somebody within striking distance of this church in our Jerusalem area that has not the knowledge of the salvation available to them through the Lord Jesus Christ, shame on us. Shame on us. And so who is this for, this command? This command is for every individual Christian. This command is for every local assembly of believers. So that's the second question. What is it? And who it is for? Now let's continue to look at the starting place here. Where are we to go? Well, the Bible says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We are to impact the entire world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to show you something. Say, preacher, that sounds like quite a challenge for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Go, if you will, to Acts chapter number 1, and I want to show you where the verse that we build our missions philosophy on, and an important word in this verse. I know Acts 1:8, again, is a very familiar verse, but it's good that it ought to be familiar. It's an incredibly important verse. Now, where are we to go? Well, Jesus said, "Go into all the world." So we are to impact the entire world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, both individually and corporately as a local assembly. We are to impact the entire world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to be involved in four important areas or regions that allows us to reach the world. Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And we'll just stop right there. We'll maybe preach some on this at some point. But folks, listen to me. Before the Great Commission, you know your preacher always says this. But before, you know, Jesus did give Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission. But sometimes we forget Acts chapter 1. He told them, go to Jerusalem, tarry till you be endued with power from on high. And that 10-day of prayer was very important. A lot of times we've got folks that are rushing out, and I'm all for being excited and taking the gospel. But we can take the gospel in the flesh, or we can take the gospel in the power of the Spirit. And this matter of being filled with the Spirit of God, Spirit-filled soul winners. I'm going to tell you, that's a whole other subject, but boy, it's an important part of the formula. Ye shall receive power if the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Both, there's the word, circle that, draw an arrow to it, highlight it. Both, that's it, in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You say, preacher, where are we to go? You're to go into all the world. We're to impact the entire world with the gospel. Our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, we use this verse to build our philosophy. We believe here that everything outside the doors of our church is the mission field. And everything. I tell you from time to time, I don't like the phrase home missions, foreign missions. I don't like that. I don't try to use it around here much. I try to keep people from using it. I try to correct them from using it. The mission field starts right outside that door. If not, then all of the churches, seen them with the sign above the door, it says you're now entering the mission field. They need to go put that on the border of the United States of America, because they've got it over their door, but they don't really believe it. We've got buses working in mission fields. Our nursing homes are mission fields. Your place of employment is a mission field. Your neighborhood that you live in is a mission field. Your family and relatives and friends and associates are that's a mission field. And so if we really believe this, and we really believe that we're to reach the whole world, preacher, come on. We're a country church. We're in a small town, Jasonville, Indiana. Let me say this, folks. The local assembly of believers are to saturate their Jerusalem with the gospel while impacting their Judea, their Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. I believe this. I believe a rural, small-town church in Jasonville, Indiana, is commanded to have a worldwide impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that. I believe we're to saturate our Jerusalem. That's number one. That's listed as our first responsibility. But I believe that while we're saturating our Jerusalem, we're to impact our Judea, our Samaria, and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, to me, that's exciting. The idea that God gave that type of a command and that type of a power to every local assembly, that we can literally cause ripple waves to go across a globe for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to me the most exciting thing about the church. And so you say, well, preacher, you're saying that we can reach these four areas simultaneously. Yeah, both. Both is the key word there. There's too many ministries that are, thank God for them, they're very focused on reaching their Jerusalem. But the honest truth is, much outside of that, they've got a very selfish mentality. Here's the mentality that's crept in a lot of our independent fundamental Baptist churches. If it doesn't put a dollar in our plate or a person in our pew, we don't have time for it. We're not going to have anything to do with it. They're just about building their kingdom. That's it. But the Bible says, yeah, you're supposed to reach your Jerusalem, but you're supposed to reach outside of that. Some folks on the other side of the coin are very missions-minded. I could take you to churches that give a huge amount of money to hand to somebody else to go somewhere else and preach the gospel, but don't have soul-winning programs, don't run buses, don't do really much of anything to reach their own Jerusalem. They believe they can pay God off, give to missions, have somebody else do it. And now, folks, that's not what we're to be doing either. By the way, thank God what they're doing for missions. Thank God for that, even that selfish church that only wants to reach its Jerusalem. But that's not the plan. Every church is supposed to saturate their Jerusalem while impacting their Judea, their Samaria, the uttermost. Preacher, what are you talking about, Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem? Let me break this down for you and give you a vision for our church. By the way, you say, what's the next question? All right, where are we to go? Next question, how are we to accomplish this? Now, before I break this down, let me go ahead and have you just look at several verses. Let's just move around the Bible a little bit, all right? Mark chapter 9. Let's go there. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter number 9. I'm going to have you go to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different places. Let's just do them right in a row, and then I'll be able to take that and build on that foundation and present to you, I believe, a good, solid, biblical philosophy of impacting the world for Jesus Christ from right here in Jasonville, Indiana. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 37. Notice this, Jesus said, so there's certain elements, there's certain ingredients that are needed if we're going to do this. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, "Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Appreciate Brother Hamlin starting us out in Sunday school, teaching on this important matter of prayer and the connection of prayer with worldwide missions. Jesus says, "Pray ye therefore." And so we have to have that ingredient. We can pray. How do we impact our Jerusalem and our Judea and Samaria? How do we impact the world? Through prayer. Prayer works. Prayer is important. Prayer changes things. And so we can pray. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth what? Laborers into his, another important ingredient if we're going to accomplish what God set before us. There must be people to pray, but you know what? Prayer by itself is not enough. Not only should we pray, we should be willing to work, to labor in the harvest, and to pray that God would send forth laborers. Go to Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 5. And verse number 42. Let's just look at some of the ingredients. We'll pull some out here and there. Acts chapter number 5 and verse number 42. Acts 5:42 says this, "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." And so what are these laborers to do, preacher? They're to take the gospel. We are to preach it in the temple, or we can preach. We are to preach the gospel in the church house, but we're also to take the gospel to every house. Go to Acts chapter number 20. Let's move on over to there. Acts chapter number 20. They preached it in the temple, but they went to every house. Acts chapter number 20. He's addressing some of the elders here in Ephesus. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 20. "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ." So what is the message we're to take to every house? Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. We're taking the gospel to every house, all right? So that takes laborers. We're talking about public preaching and personal soul winning here. Now go, if you will, to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. If you will, let's look at verse number 2 and 3. I'm giving you some ingredients. We need prayer. We need laborers. Laborers to do what? To cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ in the temple and every house. From house to house, preaching repentance towards God, faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 13, how do we accomplish this worldwide vision? Verse 2, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, from the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them." Notice this last phrase. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them where? So you know how the church does this? Not only do we labor in our own Jerusalem and go to the house. And by the way, the gospel was preached this morning. And the gospel is preached in the different churches and the different services. And we present an opportunity for people to be saved publicly. But we also take the gospel out into the highways and byways, into the doors, and compel them to come in. But wait a minute, the church is going to have to do something else. From time to time, God's going to, through the Holy Spirit, is going to separate from us some people that need to leave this work and go somewhere else. We're going to be interviewing a couple that did that from our church next Sunday morning during our Sunday school hour. Brother Jackson, when he settled on what God would have him to do and presented the burden to go to Canada and ask us to be a sending church, what we're doing, folks, don't forget, they're members here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. Let's be a blessing. Let's be an encouragement to them. I know out of sight sometimes is out of mind. They're going to pop in and out of here, but they need encouragement. Deputation's tough. And it is a lot of times discouraging, but they're out there right now. What are they going to do? They are going to separate from us and go and plant another church in a city that's in desperate need of the gospel. And in a way, Blessed Hope Baptist Church is again having a part in this. Young people, look at me. Look at me. We're not putting all we're putting into you and raising all of you the way we're raising you and sacrificing and preaching the way we're doing it so you can grow up and be a bunch of knuckleheads. We need young people for the gospel ministry. We need young men to enter into the gospel ministry. We need young ladies to live a sensible, sanctified, separated life so that they could be prepared and considered by God to maybe be a helpmate to a preacher or an evangelist or a missionary or somebody in the local assembly that serves here to help reach on the ground our Jerusalem. And one of the reasons that the church is failing is because young people are being raised in a good environment with good preaching and good teaching, but you know what? You've let the devil get in your heart and turn your heart against the things of God. And you know what? You've never wept a tear over a lost soul. You're so involved in the petty, you can't see the big picture. And the devil's just trying to keep you all stirred up about all the nonsense in the world, anything other than reaching a lost world for the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't weep over maps like I weep over maps. You don't drive through neighborhoods and see unreached people. Your heart's never touched. Many of you get on that soul winning bus. Listen to me. You get on that soul winning bus every Wednesday, and you know what? It's a game to you. Sit in the back and talk about things you shouldn't talk about, joke about things you shouldn't joke about, wander up and down the streets casually with no burden in your heart at all. You could care less if the people come to that door, go to heaven or hell. Going through the motions, playing a game, spend more time griping about, well, we don't have that, we don't get to do, than you do getting a vision of what this whole thing's about. Now, when we need you to get serious. We need you to get it serious. I've got some junior high kids and some high school kids, got about a third grade maturity rate mentality going on right now in our youth group, about third grade. No, really, you're so far behind the curve, it's not... It would be laughable if it wasn't so tragic. And it's time to get serious about it. I went to last Friday night. I went to drove up Indianapolis. You don't want to. I mean, who plans a youth rally in Indianapolis last Friday night? And a bunch of churches did. They wanted me to come up and preach to the teens. Walked in there. There were 366 people total. I don't know how many of them were young people. Over 300 teenagers. And you know what I did? I preached on the call to preach. Had three young men walk down the aisle and surrender to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Had four young people walk down the aisle and get saved. Amen. You say, preacher, why do you take the time to do that? Because there's nothing more fun than driving through the rain up in Indy, Super Bowl weekend, and fighting the traffic and preparing and the pressure and preaching to that large. Why do you do it? Well, because there's a White Castle up there. That's why. Amen. Come on, Brother John. Praise the Lord. Jesus saves. Amen. But no, I don't even do it for White Castle. I mean, I don't. You know what, folks? I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, you know what? You think, oh, Brother Jerry, you just must love doing this. You just haven't done it very much if you think it's. I mean, really. I do love it when I get there, and I love the opportunity. But, well, you know what? I could just tell everybody that calls, I'd just rather go home and put my feet up. I work hard around here. I really do. We put the hours in around here. I get a rare evening and then have to take off. Listen, you know, why are you doing it? I'll tell you why. I'm doing it because for your generation. I'm not doing it for my generation. I'm doing it for your generation. Now, if y'all don't get burned about your generation, and the only ones that are burned about your generation is my generation, in 15 years, nobody's going to be burdened about anything. Because we're going to pass off the scene. Where's that young man with the fire of God burning in his heart? Where's that young Jerry Ross that's sitting in the pew and finally hits an altar and gets right and gets the carnality and foolishness out of his heart and gets to the point where God can start doing something in his life? And this is what we're about. This is what we're trying to accomplish here. There's a world out there that needs reached, and the devil has been so effective in what he's doing, keeping our minds on everything. Parents, are you listening to me, parents? I can sit here and fuss at these kids, but the honest truth is most of these kids are having problems. A reflection of a home that's focused on the petty and can't see the big picture. You think they're going to rise any higher than your level of spirituality? Come on now. Now this is good for us. If we don't get serious about it, I can fuss how they want to, but you know what? I'm just around them a few hours a week. You got them. You're raising them. Now let's get it all involved in this. Are you getting this? Now how do we accomplish this? Listen, folks, from time to time, we've got to send them out. We've got to have young people that are surrendering to go to the mission field. We have young men surrender to go into the ministry. We've got to have young men. Maybe God doesn't call you to preach and send you in full-time work, but you know what? You'll grow up and you'll get a job and you'll work hard and you'll sacrifice your extra time and you'll labor here in our Jerusalem and help build this church and reach this area for the Lord Jesus Christ. God has something for everybody to do. Now, let me break it down. Let me give you the basic ingredients. How are we to accomplish this? This seems like an overwhelming goal, preacher. Going to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Well, there's some ingredients. Number one, we need to invest our prayers. We've got to pray. I don't mean preach about praying or talk about praying. I mean praying. We've got to pray. We've got to preach the gospel in this church, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Keep the preaching of the gospel. Keep it plain. Keep it simple. But we also got to deliver the gospel to every door. We've got to be willing to invest our resources where we cannot physically go. I didn't have you turn to Philippians chapter 4. We'll deal with that next week. But we have a responsibility to invest our resources where we cannot physically go. This is how we have a worldwide impact. I can't go into the uttermost. I can't be more than one place at a time. But I can invest in people who will go. And it's a great opportunity to give to missions. We need to, from time to time, send out preachers from among us to establish churches, both in our Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, preacher, explain that again. Let me break that down to you and listen carefully. I believe Blessed Hope Baptist Church has some responsibilities here. Number one, we're to saturate our tri-county area with the gospel. That is our Jerusalem. When I say our tri-county area, if you look at a map, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, this is Greene County. Let's say this is Greene County. It's a rectangle. We're located right here in the northwest corner of Greene County. We can reach into Greene County, Sullivan County, and part of Clay County. We can reach even farther than that. We are reaching some farther, but that's the basic three areas that we claim as our Jerusalem. I got a map in my office. I'll bring it next week and show it to you, if I remember. And it will. It basically is a map with a circle. The plate, what I believe is our responsibility to saturate an area with the gospel. I mean, every creature in that circle needs the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? We can't do it if we don't have laborers. I can't just send a handful of teenagers once a week and say, you guys do it for us. Everybody needs to be involved. Everybody needs to be a part. And so we've got an opportunity to do that. Now, folks, listen to me. You say, well, preacher, there's other churches in that circle. Good. God bless them. And I appreciate everything they do. But you know what? I'm not counting on anybody but us. I think we ought to take the responsibility to personally saturate our Jerusalem. Okay, whatever else is done from the other churches, I'm all for it. Good for them. Good. We use all the help we can get. But I'm not counting on, I think Blessed Hope Baptist Church just needs to take personal ownership, personal responsibility, and say, we can do this. We can saturate this area. I'll show you next week. And I'm a map guy, but I'll show you next week. If you take a map of the state of Indiana and circle in our Jerusalem and color it in yellow, And I'll do this next time. I've got a map in my office like that, and I'll hold it up to you. You know what? We've got a little part of this state that we ought to just say, you know what? We got this. The people that live here are going to get the gospel. We got it. Now, think about this. How do we saturate a world? How do we saturate our Judea? How do we get southern Indiana? We get other churches that get on board. Other churches have to decide to get burned about their Jerusalem. And so, but you know what? Our responsibility is to reach our tri-county area with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ through public preaching and personal soul winning, baptizing the converts God gives us, discipling them to live like Christ and help reach the world for Him. Now look up here, all right? I mean, I'm trying to sell you on something here. New converts coming in, getting saved, and we're going to disciple them to help us reach the world for Christ. If they settle in the Blessed Hope, look around. By example, what are you discipling them to do? Amen. What are you discipling them to be? That's it. That's it. Okay? And so think about that. We've got a responsibility. Well, I'm not involved in discipling. Yes, you are. By example, you are. By example, you are. And so saturate our tri-county area. That's our Jerusalem. What's our Samaria impacting southern Indiana? By supporting gospel preaching churches where they exist, by starting gospel preaching churches where they do not exist. I am a southern Indiana boy. I was born over here at Greencastle at the hospital. Grew up most part of my time, half my growing up years in Brazil, Indiana, the other half right here in this area here. I'm a southern Indiana boy. I love southern Indiana. I got a burden for southern Indiana. Me and my dad knelt together many a time and wept and begged God to send preachers to southern Indiana. There's been an amazing number of churches been raised up since 1994. Me and my dad began to pack together to pray that God would send men again. There's been churches started. There's been ministries that were just kind of sitting there doing nothing that have gotten energized and going forward. But you know what? For everyone we've got, we need dozens more. We need dozens more. So wait a minute, preacher. That's their responsibility. No, that's our responsibility. You know what? There's a lot of ways that we can impact Southern Indiana by supporting other gospel preaching churches. Let me help you here, folks. They're not in competition with us. I thank God for every gospel. Yeah, you mean the ones outside of Jerusalem? No, I mean the ones inside our Jerusalem. I'm for them. I'm praying for them. I want them to get sorted out and figured out and become biblical in this matter of stop the inward fussing and start the outward looking and get busy and go out there and win souls. That's what I want. I'm rooting for every preacher that's trying to take their church in that direction. And I'm praying that God take to heaven the people that are in those churches standing in the way of that. I am. Come on. I'm sorry, but reaching this Southern Indiana ought to be a passion of people that were born and raised here, and you claim this is your home. And so we ought to be excited about that. There's a reason that we're investing the money we are over in Bloomfield. And you know what? That opens up a whole other circle. The potential for them to grow and mature and get to the point where Brother Clanny can disciple and energize, get some people. There's a certain type of church we want to start over in Bloomfield. Boy, look up here. We don't need another deadhead church in Southern Indiana. We got our quota. We're over our quota. We don't need a bunch of selfish, backslidden, unseparated Christians who want to sit there and fuss at everything the preacher does. You know, long on opinion and short on labor. We need a church like Blessed Hope Baptist Church over there. That's the pattern that church needs to follow. You know why? Because we're following the pattern of Acts. That's the type of church. I'm on Brother Clanny all the time about this. You know, you get people in. Sometimes the only reason they show up is because they couldn't get along with some other preacher because he was trying to get him to work for God. Maybe if I go over here and get with this young guy, then we can control him. Well, somebody owns a deed to that property, and I'll tell you who it is. Me. Us. Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know what? I'd burn that place down before I let it turn into another little dead, ridiculous, pathetic. Brother Joe, you're in them all the time. You've preached out. Most places ought to have a tombstone put in their front yard. Come on now. Come on. All right. Here we go. Southern Indiana, establishing, strengthening local churches who will engage in public preaching and personal soul winning, who will baptize their converts, who will disciple their converts to live like Christ and help reach the world for Him. You know, that's how how can we do that? We impact it. Our Judea projects, where I ask you from time to time, let's jump on a bus, let's go over and knock doors for some other church. I spend a good deal of time, sometime probably almost every week, calling and encouraging young preachers who need encouragement. They need to know there's a church behind them and for them. I'm always asking them, is there anything we can do for you? Is there anything we can get for you? Is there anything we need? Well, preacher, you keep spending our money on it's your money? I thought you put it in the plate. Did you give it to who? Then why you keep got the my money attitude about it? It's God's money for His work. Amen. And if we keep every penny here, we're not impacting anything but here. Let's look for these opportunities. Let's look to be a blessing. Come on. Let's stay generous. Let's sacrifice from time to time. Buy songbooks for somebody else. Well, we could use some new songbooks. Yeah, but we got some at least. Some of them don't even have them. We could use some tables. Yeah, but they don't have any. We got some. We may have to prop them up a little bit. Have two people sit on either end and kind of hold the table up while the rest of them are eating, but at least we got them. Man, let's not get selfish. Let's root for the other churches. I'm talking about independent fundamental Baptist church. I'm talking about gospel preaching churches. I'm not rooting for the works crowd. I'm not rooting for the liberals. I'm not rooting for the church where the guy's up there preaching out of an NIV Bible. I don't want any of my money going to that or any of my labor. I'm not going to support that nonsense. But somebody that's solid on the Word of God and out trying to reach a community for Jesus Christ and Baptists, let's get behind them and let's be a blessing to them. Let's help. Let's root for them. Okay? Then we can impact our nation. How do you impact your nation? By praying and supporting gospel preaching churches across the country. I mean, we've done it. We're doing it right now. It's so exciting what's going on. The idea that, you know, the churches we're able to support in Montana and along the East Coast, we've been able to support several churches in the last. Some of them we've supported to the point where they've now are self-supporting. We could sign off on it. But folks, do you realize everything that church accomplishes will go to a certain amount on the account of Blessed Hope Baptist Church and the members that sacrificed to make that happen? Glory to God. I want us to support what people call foreign missions, but again, if I could just get that out of your mind, you understand America's a mission field? We don't do something to reach our own country. We are sinking. We're sinking. So we need to establish and strengthen local churches in our own nation who will engage in public preaching and personal soul winning, who will baptize their converts, and who will disciple their converts to live like Christ and help reach the world for Him. Impacting our world. How do we do it? By praying and supporting gospel preaching, church planting missionaries around the world. We support missionaries for the purpose of establishing and or strengthening local churches who will engage in public preaching, personal soul winning, who will baptize their converts, who will then disciple their converts to live like Christ and reach the world for Him. Sounds like it's just the same plan everywhere you go. Yeah, that's it. There's just one plan. That's it. That's the plan to reach the world. That's the plan to reach the world. You know what? The person that we're supporting in a foreign country ought to, for the most part, be carrying out the exact same great commission that we're carrying out here. Okay? These are people that want to tell you, well, yeah, you don't understand this country. We got to do it a different way. You don't do it a different way. You do it God's way. People tell you, oh, soul winning don't work here. Well, yeah, it does. It'll work anywhere you actually work it. Okay, and so, yeah, it does. Yes, it does. Take the gospel, public preaching, door-to-door, soul winning. Take it to people out there and bring in lost so they can hear the gospel preached in the church. Go out there. The ones that won't come, take the gospel to them. Preach it in the church. Preach it on the streets. Hey, you know, think about this. You know what happened in Acts chapter 2? 120 people decided to sequester themselves away for 10 days, empty themselves of self and sin so they could be filled with the Spirit of God. Get an endowment of power from on high, left that room through personal soul winning. All 120 were sharing the wonderful works of God, speaking through a miraculous moving of God through tongues, which, well, I wish we could get in everybody's head the proper biblical definition of tongues. Every time a preacher says tongues from the pulpit, they think about what's going on down at the charismatic church, and that's not Bible tongues. So someone asked me the other day, you believe in speaking in tongues? I said, I believe what the Bible says about it. I said, if you're talking about you walked up to somebody and they spoke a different language than you did and you couldn't speak their language and God gave you the ability to miraculously share the plan of salvation with them and they got saved, then you're talking about the same thing that happened in the book of Acts. Now, I'll just say this. I don't believe that's for this time. I think that which is perfect has come, that which was in part was done away with. But I'm just saying, if somebody's going to claim to do it, they ought to at least claim to properly define it. Okay, but they went out there. Personal soul winning. We missed the point. The whole chapter gets distracted about tongues. Let's talk about what it's really about. 120 people left the upper room, hit the streets, start telling about the wonderful works of God. Well, what are the wonderful works of God? What just happened? Death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Resurrection of Christ. Gospel plan completed. It is finished. It's paid. So they went out there and they start telling this story. Once a crowd gathered because of all the commotion, Peter said, wow, there's a crowd. I'm a preacher. I guess it's time. He jumped up, preached. But it was public preaching, personal soul winning, a combination of the two. 3,000 people were saved. And yet we have the emerging church trying to tell us that both those things won't work anymore. The progressive church will sit there and flat tell you, preaching and soul winning's outdated. No, it's not. No, it's not. And so we impact our Tri-County area, our southern Indiana, our nation, and our world. You mean Blessed Hope Baptist Church can do that? Yes, we can. Preacher, when are we to stop? Jesus said in John 9:4, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Paul told us when to stop in 2 Timothy, for I am now ready to be offered, time my departure's at hand. I fought a good fight, I finished my course, kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at this day, not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. When are we supposed to stop? We're supposed to stop as soon as our general says, okay, that's enough. The only time that's going to happen is when we die or the rapture happen. The war is over. 1944, Lieutenant Hiro Onito, a Japanese lieutenant sent by the Japanese army to a remote Philippine island of Lubang. His mission was to conduct guerrilla warfare until World War II, during World War II. Unfortunately, he was never officially told the war had ended. So for 29 years, Onito continued to live in the jungle, ready for when his country would again need his services and information. Eating coconuts and bananas and deftly evading searching parties he believed were enemy scouts, Onito hid in the jungle until he finally emerged from the dark recesses of the island on March 19, 1972. He was 20 years old when he was called to join the army. He got into top physical condition, quit his job, went to fight for his country. On December 17, 1944, Lieutenant Hiro Onito left for the Philippines to join the 8th Division. Here, Onito was given orders by his major. And the guy's name I'm not even going to try to say. Onito was ordered to... by the way, let me just read the orders. You're absolutely forbidden to die by your own hand. It may take 3 years, it may take five, but whatever happens, we'll come back for you. Until then, so long as you have one soldier, you're to continue to lead him. And you may have to live on coconuts. If that's the case, live on coconuts. Under no circumstances are you to give up your life voluntarily. Here's a soldier that took these words literally, seriously. And so, when the time came, when Japan surrendered, they received notice of this through a leaflet that they thought what the enemy had used as a trick to get them to surrender. And so they kept fighting. They found the first leaflet in October of 1945. But there was four of them together. I won't read the whole story, but him and three other guys. Over the course of the next, all the way from then to 1972, one by one, the other soldiers died. Some of them were killed in skirmishes. They thought the war was still going on. Finally, his commanding officer went back to the island, found him, and located him, the same one that wrote his original orders. He said the only reason, only way he would believe it was time to surrender and that the war was over if the same guy that wrote the orders came and told him. A reporter had gone in, found him, said, if your commander comes and tells you, would you surrender? He said, yes. I think about this. Commander came, gave him a written and read it to him, read him standing orders to stand down. Onito was shocked and at first disbelieving. It took some time for the news to seep in. This is a quote from him. We really lost the war? How could they have been so sloppy? By the way, probably if they'd had this great a soldier, they wouldn't. Suddenly everything went black. A storm raged inside of me. I felt like a fool for having been so tension cautious on the way here. Worse than that, what had I been doing for all these years? Gradually the storm subsided, and for the first time I really understood. My 30 years as a guerrilla fighter for the Japanese army was abruptly finished. This was the end. I pulled back the bolt on my rifle and unloaded the bullets. I eased off the pack that I always carried with me and laid the gum on top of it. Would I really have no more use for the rifle that I had polished and cared for like a baby all these years? Or my friend's rifle, which I had hidden in a crevice in the rocks? Had the war really ended 30 years ago? If it had... Had my other comrades died for nothing? If what was happening was true, wouldn't it have been better if I had died with them? 30 years he remained hidden on that island and fought. You know why? Because the commanding officer that gave him the orders was the only one that was going to countermand those orders. Let me tell you what's happening. A bunch of evangelicals are dropping leaflets among the fundamental churches telling us the war is over. They're telling us, you know what, you don't have to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. A bunch of Calvinists are dropping flyers into our independent fundamental circles telling you, you don't have to go soul winning. People are going to get saved, will get. People aren't going to, so you know what? Eat, drink, and be merry. But you know what, folks? I fight until I look into the eyes of my commanding officer, and the same one that gave me the Great Commission says, you can stop. That's how long I fight. And I know that this man was mistaken, but we are not mistaken. We are in a real battle for the souls of men. I need soldiers, young men. I need soldiers. Young ladies, I need soldiers. Young adults, I need soldiers. Seasoned saints, I need soldiers. We don't lay our guns down, pull the bolt, empty the bullets, lay our pack down until we look into the face of the one who gave us the Great Commission. I can solve a lot of your problems and fussings that's going in your heart right now. A lot of the petty, silly junk that it seems to be a constant undercurrent in the last several months. Bless you. I can solve it all by telling you, why don't you just show up on a bus route this week? Why don't you show up to a soul-winning opportunity? Why don't you get a burden for something bigger than your petty self? Why don't you realize you have a commanding officer that's giving you a direct order to reach the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? If we get focused on that, we ain't going to have any problems here. A little bump here and there, nothing we can't fix up. If we get inward looking, we'll turn into what so many churches of this area has become. A bunch of griping, petty, carnal, ridiculous people that have lost the vision of the purpose of the local New Testament church. So that's the answers to these questions. That's what Missions Month's all about. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd use this in our lives, please, dear God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to get a vision of all of the different neighborhoods, all the different people groups, all the different places within our Jerusalem that still, to our shame, have not the knowledge of God. I would pray, Lord, that you'd help us as we continue to look at ways to strengthen churches and start churches in our part of the world, that you would give Blessed Hope Baptist Church a heart for that. As we try to, Lord, continue to raise money to support people to go to areas of our country and our areas of the world we physically cannot go, but we can pray and we can give and we can support and we can encourage. I pray, Lord, that you would allow a little country church on the edge of a little small town to have a worldwide impact. God, I pray that you'd help us to die to self. Or I pray some Christians just, Lord, that just need rebroken. They just need rebroken. They need a reset button push. They've wandered so far off the path of what is sensible and sane. I pray, God, that you do a Holy Spirit work in their heart, in our midst. There's a whole world, Lord, to be reached. Opportunities all around us. And so, Lord, I'm going to obey what your Spirit, what you said, Jesus. I'm going to pray the Lord of the harvest. Dear Holy Spirit of God, please send forth laborers into your heart. You got a hold of my heart. You helped me to come to repentance. You helped me to die to self, and you helped me to focus my life on reaching the world for Christ. If you can do it in my life, you can do it in other people's lives. I pray that you would. I pray for our young men, dear God. Help them to grow up. Help them to grow up, Lord. Help them to get fixated and focused on something bigger than themselves. Help our young ladies, dear God. Help them to get right with God. Lord, help our young adults, Lord. The world gets us so busy, we get so distracted, so many things going on. The devil's just got us running in circles, laughing all the time. May we get a vision for what could be done, dear God. Pray, Lord, that you'd help us. In Jesus' name, amen.